God, do our best to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. I would beg your attention tonight. I would never in any way, shape, or form cast doubt on anybody's salvation. I the devil do enough of that. Amen. But I would beg you tonight to examine your salvation. And if you're not saved, if all you have is a profession, that you'll come to Christ tonight. Don't play the fool, because hell is no place to play around with. Amen? And if the devil can get you to put it off one more day, he don't mind if you get saved, just don't get saved today. And that's the opposite of what God says. God says today. Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week, but today. I want us to read these verses carefully. I want you to follow along, and I want you to listen. In verse number, chapter 2, and verse number 13. Chapter 2, verse number 13. Ready? For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him alone? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now, verse 14 through 17 is a paragraph all by itself in that thought. Then verse 18 through 20. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man or woman, that faith without works is dead? Second thought. Now we come to verse 21 through 26 is the third one. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that faith by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, three times James declares that you can claim to have faith and be as dead in your trespasses and sins as anybody else. I don't know really how to start other than just to get into this. I'm more interested in verse 14 through 17 tonight. And there's a lot of things that we can say, but 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So you need to look tonight. Let's pray. Father, once again, as I have already prayed and thought and prayed throughout the day and yesterday and the day before and other times over the faith that may just be a profession and not be real, Might be a man, a woman, boy or girl. Might be somebody older than me, younger than me. My age, that's never been saved. God, we look at them and we think a perfect picture of a Christian, and yet, Lord, there's nothing inside them that resembles faith. And God, we pray tonight that they'll humble their hearts and be saved. And I pray tonight, God, that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And Lord, bring assurance also. The Bible says that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're the children of God. Lord, I'm glad tonight to know those times whenever He's witnessed and I've been a child of the King. Lord, there may be somebody here again that doesn't know that. Give us liberty to preach in the unction of God. As Paul said, my speech and my preaching, let it not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. To your glory, amen. There is quite a twisted belief about faith these days. I think all of us could agree to that. Regardless of what you believe about everything, you can surely believe that. I wrote down some things that I thought might be an example of that. We have this twisted idea that there can be faith in God without any knowledge of God. I have friends that have never attended church, but they know God. That is a twisted idea of faith. Hold your hand there and go over to Romans chapter number 10. I'll read something for you. We'll get out of here early tonight if you'll turn fast and read and with me or listen as I read. And I surely, again, don't want to cast doubt on anybody's salvation, but tonight I surely want to do my best to look you in the face and to preach to you and to make sure that you're saved tonight. Amen. I'd hate to get to heaven and you not be there. I'd hate to get to heaven and see you at the great white throne judgment, look at you and see you and you to say, preacher, I was one you was talking to that night on December the 2nd, 2018. God's Holy Spirit arrested my heart that night. But I said no because of my age, because of my position in the church, because of my pride, because of this, because of that. And I said no. And on that night, I said no to Jesus. The Bible says on Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is a man who has a twisted idea of faith. He believes that he can be saved by himself, by his own way. This is what I think about it. There's the twisted idea that faith in God is without experience with God. They never have an experience with God. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you get saved, you'll have an experience with God. And it'll be initiated by God and not by you. There's the twisted idea you can have faith in God without any evidence of God. There's no evidence of God in your life. I mean, you came down to the altar of sinner and nothing's changed. There's no evidence that God made any difference. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There can be faith in God without any fruit of faith. I mean, how foolish to make a profession of faith and say, I'm a born-again believer and never have any evidence of that faith or any fruit of that faith. You can surely have works without faith, but according to the Bible, you cannot have faith without works. In verse 10, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall yet offend in one point is guilty of all." The Bible says let me read it to you. I can't quote it, but I can read it real quick. I want to establish some things here tonight that we're not talking about work salvation. James is not talking about that. And Paul wrote for us in Galatians 2 verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And so we know tonight that you can't work your way to heaven. And James is not talking about that. He's not talking about that. But he is trying to explain, or trying to tell the folks that there were a lot of people who went from this extreme of trying to keep the law to get saved to this extreme, who said all you have to do is say a prayer. All you have to do is make a profession and you're saved. And both extremes are wrong. Both extremes are wrong. Now, in James chapter 2, I want you to look at something that I think is key to what we're going to be preaching tonight. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. Look at this very carefully. The Bible says in James chapter 2 verse 14, though a man say he hath faith. Though a man say that. There's a lot of men saying they have faith tonight. Though a man say, I'm saved. Though a woman say, she's saved. The Bible is clear that God does not validate their statement. He doesn't say a man that says, a man is saved, and he's not talking about being saved and being lost. This man is making a declaration about himself to other people. I wrote several things after I typed up my notes, and I want to read one of them to you, and if I can. I wrote this down. I thought this was good. Man cannot be saved by perfect obedience. Y'all believe that? Because we can't render it. We just can't do it. If we offend, we sin in one point, we violate the law in one point, we're guilty of all. So man can't be saved by perfect obedience because we can't do it. Man cannot be saved by imperfect obedience because God won't accept it. So we're in a pickle. Amen? So let me read something for you tonight. I've pondered this many times as I've read the scriptures, and I think maybe tonight as I read in James, I think maybe God, I know God shed light to my heart. Whenever the great apostle Paul wrote it to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, this is what he said: moreover, brethren, I declare unto the gospel, unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Then listen, unless ye have believed in vain. How can you believe in vain? Well, James tells us. James tells us. You may have believed in vain. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? Well, listen. If you heard about Jesus, but he wasn't the Jesus of the Bible, then you couldn't be saved. It'd be impossible. And the Bible says there's another Jesus, there's another gospel, and there's another spirit. And it's all around us tonight. And if you hear the world's gospel and the world's Jesus, then that's not the Jesus and the gospel of the Bible. And if you believe that, then you don't believe this, and you believe that, and you are not saved. There was a man in the Bible named Simon Magus, and he was a professor of religion, but he was not a possessor of Christ. I believe Titus might have said it. If you turn to the book of Titus just real quick, and these aren't things that I have, but there's something that God has laid on my heart, and I believe that boy, the church maybe today is filled with many people. Man, we got 308 people that profess Christ that are on our membership roll, probably 1,500 that have professed Christ even since I've been here, or since Brother Sears has been here, and many of them are as worldly and ungodly today as the world is. And you look at them and you ask them and you say, are you saved? Yep. Well, that don't measure up to the Bible. And either God's lying or they're lying. We have 308 members on our roll at this time. We had 111 people that attended church this morning. On any given Sunday, we'll have at least 160 people that never darken the door of the church on any day throughout the whole year. Now, let's assume, because of the way us Baptists are, they came to the altar either here or over yonder in that building, and they made a profession of faith and they said, we got saved. Well, that's wonderful. But their life shows something else. And folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to consider this. Now look at Titus chapter 1. And verse number 16. It's a familiar verse if you've listened to anything that I've preached. The Bible says, well, look at verse 12. This must be, well, go up to verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Man, they got to talk, don't they? Man, listen, me and God. God don't make a decision without asking me to ask some folks. If I want to be very sarcastic about somebody who is claiming to be a Christian and I know things about them, I'll be sarcastic in something like this. So if you ever hear me say this, you'll know I'm being sarcastic in a very critical manner. God don't make a decision without asking them. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then this person. Now that's the way some people think. I mean to listen to them talk. Boy, I tell you what, this is something bad to say, and I probably ought not to get off on this very much, but I tell you what, I watched some stuff on Facebook that some of our church members put on there that hadn't been in the church, in the house of God in a year or 2 years or longer than that, and they're talking about how them and God are just, I'm telling you, God don't make a decision without them. I think, man, that's the biggest hypocrite I've ever seen. And I just almost, if it wasn't for just destroying the whole church, I'd just like to put on there, you big liar. Because that's what I'm thinking. The Bible says, now, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even their own prophet, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Boy, I tell you what, I was reading a message one, listening to a preacher, and he got to preaching on the God of the belly. And I turned him off. I thought, good gravy. Get real personal here, amen. The Bible says here they're slow bellies. And this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in their faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, and turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. Look at verse 16. They profess that they know God. I'm a Christian. But in what? Say that out loud. Works. They deny him. They're an abomination to God. They're disobedient. And to every good work, they're reprobate. That means they're as far from everything that is godlike. And that may be you today. Now go back to James. And boy, we got to hurry. Oh boy. We haven't even got off of page one yet. And notice the verbal exchange here. This man saying, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. This woman saying, I'm a Christian. That's what they're saying. I am a Christian. I'm a believer. I went down to the altar at the Baptist church. I came down here and somebody read me some scripture and I made a prayer and they stood me up and I said I got saved, and that is my verbal exchange to everybody is I'm a Christian. Now, the thing about it is I don't know who's saved and who's not saved tonight. But I can tell you this, if all you have is a profession, then you're not saved. Period. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this thing of Christianity is a lot more than what we're dangling over the world today calling Christianity. That's why some of these fly-by-night churches, what I call them, that's why some of these fly-by-night churches are doing so well and growing so rapidly around us and in other parts, because there's nothing to what they're saying. You just profess something and you're a Christian. That Bible doesn't uphold that. They profess that they know God, but in works. So what we're saying is, well, listen, that's, oh boy. Okay, that's why some of this stuff that's going on in our churches is not of God and is an evidence that that church is not of God, because it's bringing the world into the church. Well, you can be, hey, listen, we can get up here and have our bands and have our drums and have our bright lights and have our smoke and have all this and have this wild music. And boy, we'll grab us a crowd. Hey, listen, if you're going to do that, just go to the rock concert. So here's what we're going to say. Well, that's contemporary Christian rock. Well, hallelujah. Let's just have us a contemporary Christian hooker. Let's just have us a contemporary Christian drunkie. You see what I'm saying? That don't make sense. I'll tell you what. Now, preacher, come on. Now listen. Just everybody can't be. God knows we can't be perfect. God knows we got that sin nature. But God demands of us holy living. And so the verbal exchange, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Man, I've been out visiting enough to know this. Everybody's saved in Moberly. But the problem is, I see the tavern still working. I see Walmart still stocking the booze aisle. I see the fly-by-night, the side-by-the-road liquor station still in business. Somebody got that, and it ain't coming in from out of town. Somebody's paying for that stuff. I'd assume it's probably some of them professing. Notice the vital evidence. If a man say, he have faith, but he don't have any works. He don't have any evidence that he's saved. You know, I've talked to people say, oh, preacher, I'm saved. Really? You never went to church. You never heard the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the word. Amen. By the hearing of the word. And you never went to church. You've never heard the preaching of God's word. And you got saved. Yeah. Do tell. I want to know how that happened. You mean the Holy Ghost of God saved you and you never heard anything about God before? No, that don't happen that way. Now, listen, it may happen that way in a very remote area where there is absolutely, and I'm putting a big if there, where there is no Bible, there is no preaching, and God's grace is merciful to people. It may happen that way, but it ain't going to happen that way in a land where there's filled with the preaching of the gospel of God. You say, well, Albert Barnes said this, there is not one of the truths of religion which is bodied forth in his life. Not one deed in which he is prompted by religion. Not one act which he could not be accounted for on the supposition that he has not been, that he has not had true piety. Here's one writer, I think it might have been John Calvin that might have said this, I can't remember who it was, but he said this. He said, if they didn't profess Christ, it wouldn't make a bit of difference in their life today. They'd still be honest, they'd still be hardworking, they'd still be all these things. The only thing is they go to church. That's all that it is. But had made a difference in their life. You see, whenever I got saved, I was telling you, I was listening to that old black preacher last night preaching. He was preaching out of Peter and James and John and all them disciples, and they got over and they healed that guy, and them Pharisees took him, and they said, you can't preach in this name anymore. Now, it's very carefully they said, you can't preach in this name anymore. And they had the can't help it. And they just couldn't help but preach in that name. And you know, when you get saved, there'll be some just can't help it you get about you. And one of them will be, you'll just want to do things for God. You'll just kind of get a little bit excited about God and doing the things of God. I'm not saying you'll live a perfect life, but I'll say this, you ain't going to run around out yonder in the world and live like the devil and look like the devil's crowd and act like the devil's crowd and then walk in here on Sunday and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I just think, well, I'm just trying to help us here tonight. He said, here's a man that says, I'm saved, but I don't have one work that I couldn't have done without God that I've done with God that I say that I have. In fact, the Bible says here, can faith save him alone? Here's what that means. Can that faith that that man says that I have all this faith, but I don't have a bit of work, can that kind of faith save a man? And it's one of them rhetorical questions that says, no. So let me ask you something. And I've pondered this because I want to make sure I'm saved. I know I made a profession of faith. I know Jesus in my heart. But you know what? The Bible says, examine yourself, make your election and calling sure. I told you I prayed early this morning, never before I preached this, but I prayed early this morning for some people that I thought might be here in the house of God this morning, they'd get saved. I prayed about my kids, make sure that they're saved. I said, well, preacher, they have all said they've been saved. That don't mean nothing. I pray for them to get saved. That ain't the only time I've ever prayed. Prayed about Yvette, make sure she's saved. See, the only person I know about's me. And I'm shaky on everybody else. Let me ask you this. If you had to come up here and you made this verbal announcement, I am a Christian. You had to come up here and say that. Then you had to produce evidence. See, that's what we do in court. We hear a man make a statement, then we look at the evidence. And the evidence either proves or disproves this man's verbal exchange. So today if you got up here and you said, preacher, I'm a Christian. Church, I'm a born-again believer. Hallelujah. And have been for ever how long you've been saved. How many here has been saved for at least 5 years? Great. Put your hands down. How many have been saved for 10 years? Great. Put your hands down. How many have been saved for at least 20 years? How many? Put your hands down. How many have been saved for 30 years? Great. How many have been saved for 40 years? Great. How many has been saved for 50 years? Just 4 or 5. Great. Anybody been saved for 60 years? 60? 60? That's a long time to be saved. You know, boy, I'll tell you what. All right, so all right, you have come up here now. And you say, preacher, I've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, ever how long you've been saved. You all know when you got saved. Amen. Amen? Listen, I know the date, I know about the time, I know the place. You may not know the date and the time, but you better know that experience when Jesus Christ entered into your heart. Amen. The experience is what it is. So if I brought you up here and said, all right, you've been saved forever how long years? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. Prove it. Brother Troy, I'm going to call you up here. Come on. You got to come all the way up here. It's his anniversary day. His wife wants to know if he's saved. She slipped me $5 and said, see if he's saved. I'm kind of shaky on him. No, she didn't. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to call Brother Troy up here. And Brother Troy, I know he's been a member of the church a long time. And I'm not going to have him say anything. I'm just going to tell you what I do. All right? Here comes Brother Troy. How long you been saved? Just about.
Since 83. What is that?
Okay. That's 35 years. 35 years. 35 years, all right? Because I've been saved in 82, I've been saved 30. So for 35 years, he's said he's saved. So, yeah, you're saved, right?
Yeah.
So that's just what this man said. This man say, though a man say, I have faith. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. So Brother Troy one day, or today, he's going to stand up here, and I'm going to say, all right, for 35 years, since 1983, so that means you was about 16, 15 years old. Yeah. Okay, because you're going to be 50 this year, right? Oh, you are 50 this year. Praise the Lord. All right. You've just got rolling down the hill good with the rest of us. Amen. All right. All right. So here's what we're going to do. All right, Brother Troy. Now, I want you to prove to that crowd that you're saved. Now, you don't have to right now. All right. You don't have to right now. You don't have to say anything. But you know, because here's the thing. If he said he's saved, he ought to be able to prove it. Well, Brother Tim, I go to church. Well, now, wait a minute. That ain't proof. Anybody can go to church. There's churches all over Moberly that don't preach the gospel. The people was in church. Well, Brother Tim, I give money. Well, listen, there's a lot of lost people that give money. Charity's going to really boast up here this year because, you know, the end of the year's coming. And so this month, charity will really be a popular thing and people are going to do some for tax purposes. And so a lot of people give money. Well, I'm married. Well, a lot of folks that ain't married or that are married are not Christians. Well, I have kids. Well, that's good. A lot of folks that are not saved have kids. They adopted three boys. That's good. A lot of people that ain't saved do that. So I'm going to ask Brother Troy, and he has to stand up here until can he prove it? Can you prove it? I bring you up here. I have you come all the way up here and stand. And here's Brother Troy, and I'm not going to ask him to say anything. I'm just going to say he's been saved since 1983, he said. And so he ought to have something that evidences that he's saved. Would you agree to that? Instead of just saying, well, I've been saved. Well, prove it. That is what James is talking about here. He's talking about people that are professors of religion, but they've never had anything that's backed it up. Now, you can just sit down there because you're going to get back up here just in a minute. Then, okay, so he gives us a visible example, all right? So we have this verbal exchange. Brother Troy's up here and he says, hey, I'm saved. So we bring him up here and he's got to give us some evidence. So James says, now there's a visible example for you to understand, all right? So there's a poor man. I play the poor man. I'm destitute of food and of clothing. And I come over by Brother Troy, and Brother Troy seems to be doing well. He lives in a nice house. He's got 9 cars. I mean, the guy's got to have money if he has 9 cars. Amen. How many cars you got? You got at least 6.
No, 4.
You got 6. You're about like me. I'm car poor in my driveway. Amen. Three run. Praise the Lord. So I come over and I know Brother Troy. And even if I didn't know Brother Troy, and I come up and I'm poor. I don't have proper clothing. It's cold outside. I haven't eaten. And I come up and Troy says, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Listen, I'm a member down yonder at the Sweet Springs Baptist Church. I'm a member there since 1983. I'm a Christian. I come up and I say, hey, Brother Troy. I don't know if Brother Troy. I say, sir, I don't have any food. I don't have a place to stay. It's cold outside. I ain't ate in 3 days. And Brother Troy pats me on the back and says, God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. I'll be a praying for you. Now, what good did that do for me? Well, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saying, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you don't give him anything, what did it profit me? What did it do for me? I'll read you. Oh, I can't read. I didn't write them down. Let me read you a verse of scripture. I didn't write them down. I should have wrote them down. I know we'd be so late. Oh boy. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not thou to thy neighbor, go in peace, come again tomorrow, and I will give it when thou hast it by thee. Let's say Brother Troy's sitting down there. He's got him McDonald's hamburger and fries and soda pop, and he's got one of them 20 meal deal things, you know. I mean, he's got more fries and he's got more chicken than he can eat. He's got more burgers than he can eat. I mean, he is sitting there at the feasting table. I said, sir, I ain't ate in three days. He said, well, God bless you, brother. God bless you. I should be praying for you that God helps you. Well, you know what, preacher? If you wasn't so sorry, you'd get you a job and fend for yourself. Huh. Maybe I had a job and got laid off or something. Maybe I did have all that I needed, but tragedies happened and something's happened. And I don't have any more clothing, and it's cold outside and I need a coat. And he's got three or four in the closet. And just maybe tonight, ladies and gentlemen, maybe I'm as we'd say, I'm down on my luck and I haven't been able to eat and I'm hungry. And he says, God bless you. Now, what good did that do for me? Come on, answer me. Not a thing. And God said, that's the way his faith is. If all he says is faith and he don't have any works to back it up, it's as useless to him as those words were to that destitute man of food and clothing. Now, here's the verdict. Dead. 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 That's the verdict. Brother Troy stands up, his mom back there smiling. He's up here and his dad's back there and says, that's my son. He's saved since 1983. Yep. We was here when it happened. And he don't have any, I ain't saying he doesn't. I'm just saying if he didn't have any evidence of being saved, he couldn't produce one thing that he wouldn't do naturally. Brother Troy and I have talked, and Miss Terry and I have talked many times, and there was times whenever they got married, and they've told me this, they didn't have nothing. Boy, that's a good way to start out. You're ruining your kids by giving them everything. They need to start out with nothing. You need to go home, take their beds away, and give them one change of clothes and let them live. But they was telling me there was times whenever they didn't have nothing. They didn't run to mom, they didn't run to dad, they didn't run over to her folks' house, they just sat there with nothing. Enjoyed each other's company with nothing. But God's blessed them and now they've got things. Now you've got more things than they need. They even got a dog, hallelujah. And so Brother Troy, he's going to stand up here and he's going to say, now listen, I'm saved. His mom and dad back here are shaking his head. His wife's shaking his head. Their kids are kind of, yeah, ain't sure, but we're going to believe him. And I said, all right, Brother Troy, prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Just prove it right out of that book. Prove it. That you're saved. Just prove that you're saved. Prove by your works. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any works. I don't have any works that anybody else wouldn't have. I just do things because that's what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to work, earn a living, help take care of my family and all this. Everybody else does that. That ain't faith in God. That's just doing what y'all would be doing. Prove that you got faith. So Brother Troy's going to stand up here in a minute. He's going to give us five reasons, things that he knows that God has done for him, or 10 reasons, or 20 reasons. Over 35 years, surely he's had faith at least one time a year. Surely God's done something at least one time a year, maybe twice a year. I mean, he ought at least be able to name 35 things, shouldn't he? Some of you that are saved, could you name 35 things that you could say this is faith, works? You see what James is saying? He said there's a whole lot of people that's saying,
I'm saved, I'm saved. But just like the man that they could have blessed. Now listen, here's let me read this other verse. This is the nail in the coffin, maybe, that might help you. You know, the Apostle John, we're getting to him probably 3 or 4 years. We'll get over there. So it won't hurt me to read him because you'll forget it anyway. He said, here, listen to this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's one of them rhetorical questions that says, it doesn't. He sees I'm hungry. I've told him, Joy, I'm hungry. He sees that that guy ain't got very mean clothes on, and it is a little chilly outside. Maybe he's not warm-blooded like me. And it's going to get colder. And he don't have any food. He don't have any clothing. God bless you. And that's what John says. Don't you tell me you love God and you have Christ in you, and you see your brother in need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him. You're not saved. I don't know if I should say this or not, but you know, a few years ago, the Lord really impressed on my heart, and Miss Terry did this for me. She offered, she usually does this once a year. She may be getting tired of this because every time she offers, I give her something to do. She said, hey, you need anything done? So I always tell her something. So I said, hey, you know what? I'd really like to be a blessing to some of our shut-ins. I'd like to do a meal for them. Maybe once a week, and I think maybe we did it once a week, maybe twice a week. I don't remember what we did. So I just told the church, everybody signed up, and if you don't want to do it, you see her. It's easier to sign everybody up and you back out than me not sign you up and you not get to do nothing. And you know, the Bible says over there in Matthew at the great white throne judgment, God's going to separate the goats from the sheep, or the sheep from the goats. We don't want to be on the left, amen? Whew. Get us back on the right. And the Bible says that Jesus said, when you fed me, you did all these things. They said, well, wherein? He said, when you did it to the least of my brethren. You know, we had some church members. Now, we had some church members that said, I won't do that. Now, you know what I thought? I thought, how in the world can you be saved? I mean, if I read the Bible, because God said to the sheep, to the goats, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. Now, I'm just here to ask you this question tonight. And we'll just quit, because I can't get finished anyway. Well, I could at 8 o'clock, but that's longer than you want to sit. Are you saved tonight? I'm not trying to cast doubt on your salvation. But if you had to go, and I know we don't. If we had to go to heaven and God say, why should I let you into heaven? I know he's not going to say that. That's something stupid the world has made up. I know that. But could you have any evidence that you're a card-carrying Christian? Got any evidence? Those men that are older than me here tonight that said you've been saved longer than I have, you got any evidence you're saved? Show me some evidence. God said, show me the evidence. Prove it that you're saved. Faith without works is dead. Some of you ladies that's claimed to be saved longer than I have, you got any evidence of it? If I brought one of you ladies up here and said, all right, now I'm going to do what I did with Brother Troy. Brother Troy's got to tell us how convince us that he's saved. Give us the evidence that you've been saved. Could you do it? Listen, one day you're going to stand before God who knows the truth. And the Bible says faith all by itself that doesn't have any evidence, being alone is what that means. What that says, being alone is dead. You know what that word dead is in all three of those cases? It's a corpse. It's what the undertaker comes whenever the coroner said they're dead. And all it is a corpse. Dead. And God said that's what your faith is tonight. if all you say is, I'm a Christian, and you never do anything for God. You say, well, preacher, I don't have money. Hey, listen, you got 25 cents to buy somebody a cup of coffee whenever they're hungry, don't you? And you don't do that? I don't even drink coffee, but if somebody said, I'm hungry, and all I want is a cup of coffee, I could probably wrestle up 25 cents. I got that card, or you just swipe it. I believe we've got a lot of people who pretend to be something that they're not. And I believe tonight maybe God showed somebody here tonight. Maybe I really think maybe somebody that might be even be older than I am, that maybe you really don't have any evidence that you're a Christian. Now, I wasn't casting any doubt on Brother Troy's. I just used him because he's been saved a long time. He's a deacon in the church and such like. And, you know, I mean, he's easy to kid with and get him all riled up and such. And so it's his anniversary day. I wanted to be special for him. But what if I brought you up here? What if you had to be honest tonight? And what if you, could you prove you're a Christian? Could you? Other than just saying I'm saved? That don't mean nothing. That verse, few verses down, says the devils believe there's a God. But it don't mean they're saved. Just because you say you believe don't mean nothing if you ain't got something to back it up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Bless and help us in this invitation time to be honest with ourselves and honest before you. And Lord, I guess even truthful to be honest with the church. And Lord, this church would not rebuke anybody who walked down here younger than me or older than me and said, I need to get saved. I've just been a pretender my whole life. I've just been a man that says. And outside of the normal things that everybody else does, I don't have any evidence. I don't have any fruit. I don't have any change. I'm just going on. I could go on as if I never claimed to be this. Lord, tonight I pray. Surely don't want to cast doubt on anybody's salvation. But I believe with all my heart, God, this is such a serious message. There's somebody that you had this intended for tonight. So we're just going to trust you and pray, God, against their pride and pray against their haughty heart that, God, they'd get saved in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. I believe tonight maybe somebody ought to come. You don't want to hear this. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Miss Rachel or Miss Rosemary's playing the hymn of invitation. Produce your cause. Do you know you're saved tonight? Maybe tonight you're coming to the altar and you need to come and get saved. Do you know you're saved tonight?